Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
That's right. And it is a treat, an absolute delight to be with you on this last Saturday of September 2020. On a day where it feels like college football is officially here, 28 games on the slate. We've got three matchups of top 25 teams, two in progress right now, and we'll keep you up to date on all of it throughout the show. Also look ahead to week three of the NFL. My name's Andrew Filipponi across the CBS Sports Radio Network, CBSSportsRadio.com, the Radio.com app. You can listen a bunch of different places if you're listening in the car right now. SiriusXM Channel 206, a local AM or FM affiliate. You can download apps like the Radio.com app to your phone, the CBS Sports app, which allow you to listen to the show wherever you are, whenever you feel like it. I always kick off these Saturday shows by saying I'm going to do my best throughout the show to let you know what's going on in college football instead of having to scan your radio to find one game instead of just having one game to listen to. I'll let you know what's going on everywhere throughout the show. We'll do full updates at the bottom of every hour. The top 25 game, two of them are in progress right now. A low-scoring game in the second half between number 8 Auburn and number 23 Kentucky. Auburn leads 8-7. Kentucky has the ball backed up in their own end right now to start the second half. Auburn, Gus Malzahn's on, perpetually on the hot seat there. Needs to start with a win at home. He's got Bo Nix back at quarterback after setting all kinds of records as a freshman signal caller at Auburn. Kentucky got Terry Wilson back after missing most of last year with an injury at quarterback. So that has really just been a defensive struggle so far, 8-7. I've got Oklahoma, Kansas State on in studio. Remember last year, Kansas State upset Oklahoma in Manhattan. Oklahoma ranked number 3. They're leading 21-7. 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. Spencer Rattler, the true freshman quarterback for Oklahoma, has thrown 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. The other top 25 game is in the ACC at Heinz Field. Pitt leading Louisville, coming off a loss to Miami last Saturday night. Pitt trying to get to 3-0 for the first time since 2014. They lead that game 20-17, but Louisville has the ball right now starting a drive. And one more game for you quickly here. Number 5, Florida, starting to hammer Lane Kiffin in his Ole Miss debut as coach. That's 35-14, up 3 touchdowns, 14 minutes to go in the third quarter. Last I checked in that game, Kyle Trask, the Florida quarterback, has thrown 4 touchdown passes. He's a stud. He's the number 1 quarterback in the SEC now that Tua Tagovailoa is in the NFL, now that Joe Burrow is playing quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. So he's the guy in the SEC. Florida, under Dan Mullen, a lot of expectations this year. They start on the road. There are fans there at that game in Oxford, and they're up 3 touchdowns. They've pulled away. That game at one point was tied at 14. I love going through these SEC games. The SEC is back. The SEC for me is king. It's as good as it gets. I am in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I have no qualms or no reservations saying that the SEC is college football's number one conference by a country mile. You can't have college football without the SEC. it's been so dominant. And it wasn't that way when I first started. My college football obsession goes back to the late 90s when I was in Central New York growing up there. And as crazy as this sounds, maybe for newer college football fans, at one point Syracuse had a halfway decent team. And so that's the team I latched onto because they were local. And they had Donovan McNabb at the time, Marvin Harrison, one Hall of Famer, one Eagles Hall of Famer. And, you know, they were a perennial top 25 team. And that's how I got into it, watching them. They went to the Big House and beat Tom Brady in Michigan once in front of 110,000 people. That's still one of my favorite games. And so that was my exposure, my initial exposure to college football. And back then, you know, there was debate. You know, the SEC wasn't, at times it was the best, but it wasn't much better than the Big Ten. It wasn't much better than the Big 12. Going back to my roots in college football almost 25 years ago, Alabama had Mike DuBois as head coach. He was terrible. LSU had Jerry DiNardo. That didn't work. I mean, the two programs that have come to dominate the SEC West were kind of downtrodden average teams at best. And the Big Ten had Michigan when they were good enough to go to Rose Bowls and be ranked in the top 10 and didn't find a way to lose every big game like they do now under Jim Harbaugh. Nebraska was still in the Big 12, and they were moving into the Frank Solich era, but even then they were competing for national championships and producing Heisman Trophy winners like Eric Crouch. So the SEC was still outstanding. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying when I was growing up and when I was getting into college football, it was a really good conference. It wasn't head and shoulders above everybody else. And now it just dominates. It's the next best thing to the NFL. And that's why I'm happy it's back. And that's why I'm excited to watch 10 conference games. These coaches in the SEC complain, or maybe not complain is the right word, but in a way to brag about the conference, they say, yeah, this is the toughest conference to navigate. We play 8 games, and it's just a gauntlet. It's grueling. Well, now it goes from 8 to 10. And so I'm sitting here, and we got a couple of games to wet the whistle today. We got a bunch of SEC games, but not a lot of great marquee matchups. Kentucky-Auburn is a nice appetizer. You know, you figure out with those two teams who's for real and who isn't. Who's going to have a say in the SEC championship? Who's a total afterthought with a game like that? How lively, how competitive are these new coaches in Mississippi going to be? What's Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss? What's Mike Leach at Mississippi State? That game starts in an hour and a half. LSU. Without Joe Burrow, without Joe Brady, without 15 guys who went to the NFL. And Ja'Marr Chase, who opted out. The best player in college football to opt out. Their number one wide receiver, the number one wide receiver who's going to get picked in the draft. So that's setting the scene for college football. We've come in here the last few weeks and done the show, and it's gotten progressively better. It's gotten better and better. And for me, today it's about the SEC. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. And I'd love to talk to football fans in the South, but I'd like to talk to football fans all across America because I'd love to get their theories too. You know, those that are closest to the situation might have more information, but sometimes when you know more, you know less because you're too close to it. And so with SEC football back, I'd like to hear from people. I'd like to get your theories on how the SEC became the best conference in college football. And let me throw in by far. How did we get to a point where we're celebrating SEC football's return, and we're celebrating the return of a conference that is almost on another planet? It's almost another league. You know, we talk haves and have-nots in college football whenever conversations about the state of the sport come up and how there is almost almost like an oligarchy. There's a hierarchy in the sport where you've got maybe 10 teams every year annually that are college football playoff contenders and everybody else. You've got the Power Five separated from the Group of Five. There's way more money in the Power Five. Even within the Power Five, you've got the Pac-12 lagging way behind. And behind the SEC, you've got the Big Ten, ACC, and Big 12 that are all about the same. Big Ten's better than the ACC and Big 12, but the ACC and Big 12 have Clemson and Oklahoma that are ranked in the top five every year. And Clemson's won national championships in the last half decade. They've proven to be the only team consistently that can play with the big boys of the SEC, as a matter of fact. Doesn't surprise me that they're in SEC country. They're in South Carolina. They're just playing in another league. But how do we get to a point where the SEC is so much better than everyone else? I mean, think about this. The last 10 national championship games, okay? Last 10. There's been an SEC team in 9 of them. 9. 90% of the time, the national championship will have a Southeastern Conference team in it playing for all the marbles. 7 of the last national titles have been won by SEC teams. 6 of the top 25 teams in America are SEC teams. Well, excuse me, let me take that back. 6 of the last 10 national championships are SEC teams. I mean, it's just, it's insane. SEC went 8-2 in bowl games last year. I mean, when they get a chance to play outside their conference, they dominate. Michigan got spanked by Alabama 35-16. Georgia beat Baylor in the Sugar Bowl. Florida won the Orange Bowl. They have become by far, the SEC is by far the best conference in college football. How did the rest of the country let that happen? Is it just that the high schools in the South produce the best players by far? We know that's not true. We know what Texas high school football is. We know what California high school football is. It's not like the only good high school footballs in America come out of Florida, Georgia, Alabama. But how is it that the SEC is just so much better than everyone else? Nick Saban is the best coach in college football. They've got that. They've got the market cornered on the best coach in the entire country, maybe the best coach of all time. But other conferences have good coaches. Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, I mean, before that, Urban Meyer at Ohio State, before he retired. I mean, but it's just so, it's incredible to me that we've reached a point where I honestly look at the SEC as something in between the NFL and the rest of college football. Look at it in recruiting. You could have a top 25 recruiting class in the SEC, and that might be a disappointing recruiting class. You might have one that's nationally ranked, and yet it doesn't cut it in your conference. I'll give you an example. Last year, Florida had the 16th best recruiting class in America. That's pretty good, right? There's about 68 Power 5 schools thereabouts, including Notre Dame, about 68. You're 16th. That's pretty good. That's top 25%, top 20% of recruiting classes in the entire country. And yet that was good enough for 7th in the SEC. That's smack dab in the middle. There's 14 teams in the conference. That would have been, by comparison, if Florida had produced that same exact recruiting class in the Big Ten, it would have been 3rd, behind only Ohio State and Penn State. So what is it about the SEC? We know that the fans are wild. We know that they're rabid. We know that routinely, even in places where teams haven't won anything in a while, like Tennessee and South Carolina, there's still 80, 90,000 fans per game. I know that it's a religion in the South. I know that these schools have fan bases that are unwavering, that are loyal to the Hill. I get all of that, but that should not just be germane or unique to SEC football. How are they so much better than everyone else? I've never seen a conference that is this much better than everyone else. And also, there's like this unity, there's this camaraderie among the SEC where other SEC schools get a thrill when they see a rival beat a Big Ten program or a Big 12 program. It's wild. It's like other SEC teams are happy when LSU beats Clemson in the national championship because they get to now brag. It's a point of pride. So I'd love to know what you think. And I'm not just talking to people in Mississippi and Arkansas and Alabama and South Carolina and Florida this afternoon, this morning out west. I'm talking to America. I'm talking to everybody listening, wherever you are, radio.com app, cbssportsradio.com, Sirius XM channel 206. How did we get to a point where the SEC kicks off today and I feel like, okay, now we finally get to see the big boy teams. We finally get to see the best of the best of college football. How do the Big Ten and Big 12 and ACC, how do they get buried by this league? How did that happen? As a fan of an ACC school, living in Big Ten country, how did the rest of America let something like this happen? Maybe, then again, you know, this is what makes these types of conversations great. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you think the SEC is overrated. Maybe you're a Big Ten fan or a Clemson fan or something like that, and you want to give the counter argument. But I think it's the best, and I want to know why you think that is. Other than just, yeah, okay, they've got great players, but how did they manage to get almost a monopoly on most of them? So we'll get Alabama at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll get the defending champs at 3:30. We're getting teams like Florida, dark horse to compete for a national championship. I think they're for real because they got a quarterback. We'll see Georgia finally move away from the Jake Fromm era into something new. Maybe it's JT Daniels, the USC transfer, later tonight. Texas A&M, another sleeper. A lot of people love Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher's got a $70 million contract. It's about time. Put up or shut up time for him. They got a cakewalk with Vanderbilt to kick things off today. And they got a good quarterback. Kellen Mond can play. At some point, you pay a coach that kind of money. 9-3 seasons don't cut it. At some point, you got to take a swing at LSU and Alabama. And no better time than now for Texas A&M. With everything that LSU's lost, with Alabama having to reconfigure and reload without Tua, without Ruggs, without Judy. So I want to hear from college football fans nationwide. I don't want to hear from just SEC fans. The SEC is probably, in SEC country, they've considered themselves the best conference in college football for a long time. But there was a time when it was at least a debate. Now it's not. Now they're head and shoulders far and away better than everyone else. How did that happen? Why is that? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. I'm willing to listen on that today as we thankfully get SEC football back. Kentucky, Auburn in progress. Florida, Ole Miss in progress. Score updates there. Auburn has scored another touchdown to go up on Kentucky, 15-7, 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Ole Miss has scored to cut Florida's lead to 2 touchdowns. It's 35-21 with 11 minutes to go in the third quarter. 855-212-4227. My name is Andrew Filippone. I'm coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. I don't want to just hear from people in Birmingham and Myrtle Beach today, although I like those places. Birmingham, the Pittsburgh of the South, and Myrtle Beach, a great vacation spot. No, I want to hear from people all over America. Why or how did the SEC become by far the best conference in college football? For 2 weeks, it's like we got preseason football. Everybody else kind of got going, and the real stuff started today with the SEC kicking off with 7 games. And I want to know what you think of that conference, why it is so much better than everyone else. 855-212-4227. If you don't want to call, you can tweet me at the Pony Express. Pony spelled P-O-N-I. Express spelled like it is in the dictionary. You can follow us at CBS Sports Radio. Ryan Hickey's a Penn State man. He's back in New York producing today's program. We'll talk with you for the next 3+ hours. We'll keep you abreast of everything that's going on here until 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
Andrew Filippone is on the air.
That's right. SEC is back, baby, and I've never lived in SEC country, and I get hyped for it because it's by far the best conference in college football, and we're trying to drill down on why that's happened. How did the SEC go from being arguably the best conference in college football to being far and away, nobody comes close to matching it good? And I don't even know how anybody would want to debate that or give me a counter argument to that. Like, What would be the take? Like, how would anybody try to make the case that the SEC is overrated? I'm looking at games that are going on right now, for example. Oklahoma's up 2 touchdowns on K-State with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Kansas State just had a little, you know, pocket-sized running back Deuce Vaughn, 5'7 freshman, rip off a long run. Skylar Thompson, quarterback sneak, the quarterback there, to make it a two-score game. And this is a game last year that Oklahoma lost as a 23-point favorite to Kansas State. So it's games like that that make you always, regardless of how many Heisman Trophy quarterbacks they pump out, always skeptical of Oklahoma when they lose games like that perpetually every year, it seems like it happens. And how could I ever take Oklahoma seriously when all they do is, when they get into these games against great teams, is get embarrassed? Like last year when they gave up 63 points to LSU in the college football playoff, or the year before in the college football playoff when they gave up 45 to Alabama and lost, or the year before that in the college football playoff when they had a huge lead on Georgia at the half. Baker Mayfield is acting, you know, that was maybe a harbinger of things to come, is celebrating like, you know, he's the best quarterback in college football since Tim Tebow, and they blow it and lose. First year of the college football playoff, they get, or second year of the college football playoff, they get crushed by Clemson, give up 37 points. I mean, they're good in their league, but they don't measure up to any of the SEC teams they play. The ACC, tonight, you got ABC trying to convince everybody that people still give a darn about Miami, Florida State. I was a little bit nostalgic at the start of the show when I was talking about how I got into college football and when I got into college football and what the college football landscape was back then. Back then, Miami, Florida State was an enormous game. Miami, Florida State was the type of game that was, in an era before we had a college football playoff, that was a college football playoff game that was often either played Labor Day weekend or in September or in October. And the winner of that game moved on and kept its national championship hopes alive, and the loser was out. I mean, that's how big that game was. I hope people younger than me realize that. That game was massive. And there were all kinds of, you know, unreal memories of field goals missed and Bobby Bowden on the sideline, you know, in total looks of consternation and concern. I mean, it was such a big game. And it's on tonight in prime time, and it's like, okay, nobody takes Miami seriously, and Florida State's a joke. They fired a coach after 2 years. They bring in a new guy. The team almost has an uprising. They almost have a mutiny before the season starts, and then they go out and get beat by Georgia Tech. And they still can't block anybody. There's all kinds of athletes in Florida. They can't find five guys to block. Central Florida looks like a juggernaut. They've won 36 of 40, and Florida State can't find five college Division I offensive linemen to play. The SEC is so much better than everything else. That's just a fact, but I'm interested in hearing how or why that happened, in your opinion. 855-212-4227 is the number. It's brought to you by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Andre's in Virginia. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Andre.
Hey, what's going on? So, I mean, First of all, I agree with your premise. The SEC is the best. But I would say this, you know, they also have a lot of implicit bias when it comes to the polls and so forth. I've always been a person who subscribed to the fact, you know, maybe instead of having these preseason polls, you have a poll that comes out in the middle of the year. Because ultimately, year after year, you have the SEC teams, you know, being ranked 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then they lose a game and they don't drop. Another team, you know, they work their way up. They lose a game and they drop like 5 spaces. I remember like 10, 15 years ago, LSU, they lost two games, mm-hmm. and they end up being the national championship. I can't remember. They won that game, but they lost that game.
No, they beat Ohio State.
Yeah, they were lost 2 games and they were still the championship. Now, I would say this, you know, the SEC, their fans care about football. It is a football conference, unlike the ACC or the Big East, or maybe a basketball conference.
Well, where do you think the bias comes from? I mean, you started the call by pretty much blaming the media for building up the SEC. Well, but you're saying that they build up the SEC. It's still a subjective sport. It's one that isn't entirely decided on the field. There's a committee, for crying out loud, that picks mm-hmm. the teams, and there's no objective empirical standard that they use to pick the teams. It's all in the eyes of the beholder. And you started by saying, well, your exact words were, there's a bias for the SEC. That's the first thing you said.
There's an implicit bias towards the SEC in terms of the poll. I'm not saying it's not the greatest, it's a good
conference. But why do you think that is? Like, why is there a bias for the SEC? Because maybe they've won seven of the last national championships? I can understand the bias.
I would say this. I can't say you can't just pull out Alabama, because obviously Alabama is part of the SEC. But specifically, you know, Nick Saban, I mean, and the six championships that he has won. You know, I'm pretty sure you're including that with those SEC titles. And I mean, Nick Saban is the game changer. This guy is probably going to go down, you know, next to Bill Belichick as the greatest football coach in the history. So, I mean, when you have to compete against Nick Saban all the time as a rival coach, you're going to, you know, they're going to bring out the best out of you. And I think you can't, you know, dismiss the Nick Saban effect. Again, I'm not.
So you think it's an iron sharpens iron thing, that because Nick Saban coaches in the SEC, it makes everybody else in the SEC better?
You got to come hard if you're going to go after Saban, and, you know, like you said, all.
Okay. I mean, that's a theory I'll listen to. That's to me, that's interesting. That's a theory I'll listen to. 855-212-4227. Here's Tony in South Carolina on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, sir?
Hey.
So, I think. Here's my take on it. I'm obviously a Georgia fan, but I'm an honest Georgia fan.
Well, I wouldn't have known that. You're calling from South Carolina, so to say obviously you're a Georgia fan.
I didn't see that
coming, but go on.
So I'm a huge Georgia fan. So
right.
I think what SEC has been able to do, and they've not, let's say they've forced voters in the NCAA to look at one thing, but they have been able to establish a model where you have all the teams in the SEC minus one or two, where there's so much parity. And it's not so much parity, but there's so much talent on every team that, like, if you have an LSU with two losses, well, they could have lost by 3 points at a number five Auburn at Auburn, and they could have lost this other game. And I think that's what helps SEC teams, and it's helped Georgia as well. When the NCAA and voters are looking at, like, well, let's look at Pac-12, there's just, or Clemson and the ACC, there's not many teams. Clemson is carrying that conference right now. Bottom line, they're carrying that conference. You got the SEC right now. You've got Jimbo.
But you know what, though? I'm going to stop you for a second there, okay? Because you're right. I mean, you, what you're saying is a truthful statement. Clemson is carrying the ACC. But think about the schools that are in that conference. You know, I guess now it gets labeled as a basketball conference because of Duke and North Carolina. But they have Florida State, who's won a national championship in the last 10 years. They have Miami, which for a 25 to 30-year run was one of the best college football programs in the entire country. They have Virginia Tech, which for about a 20-year period was a good bet to be a top 25 team and win 9 to 10 games every year. They have a former national championship winning coach at North Carolina. Like, they should have teams that are good. That's one of the, like, what you're saying about Clemson is right, but how is the rest of the conference so bad?
Because I believe Clemson is where, I guess, Bama was a few years ago. They are the bar that the conference has had needed to work to set themselves up to. Now, Saban is still head and shoulders. You know, Kirby's never figured out how to beat them, but the conference in itself has obviously improved because of Saban. They've taken the model. Clemson, I'm going to say, if they need to, they would be an SEC school. Top to bottom, they have the best depth, the best recruit.
Let me ask you this question before I let you run, Tony, okay? I'm going to ask you this question, okay? Let's say you put Trevor Lawrence and Clemson in the SEC this year, and they've got to play the 10-game SEC season. Let's say they got the same exact schedule as Georgia.
Okay.
Do they get through it?
They probably get through it with one or two losses at the most. And one or two losses in the SEC is probably, I would say, equivalent to.
Okay, because some people don't. Because it's funny you say that, and I wanted you to say that because there's a lot of SEC fans, and I'm sure we're going to hear from some of them this hour who would say, you know, Clemson's really talented. They're loaded. They've got the best quarterback in the country. But if they had to play 10 games in the SEC this year, like us, they'd go 7-3. They wouldn't last. They wouldn't be able to win the war of attrition. I know. I don't feel that way. But I know SEC fans who do. And I can say that not because I'm best friends with people like that. I've hosted the show for long enough. I've had enough of these conversations where I have had SEC people, no lie, who have said, well, Clemson's overrated. The only reason why they're in this situation right now is because they play in a Mickey Mouse conference. If they had to come and play in our league, if Clemson's in the SEC West, they go 5-3 in conference. And they're a good team, but they're not a great team. I've had people tell me that. A team that's, you know, stared down Alabama the last few times they played them and either won or lost at the very end. So the SEC is back, thank God. We're talking about how it's gotten to a point where it's not only the best conference in college football, it's far and away the best league. What happened or what's allowed for that to happen where it's the SEC and then everybody else? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We've heard a few people up already. Nick Saban's. The Nick Saban effect has come up. Maybe there's another reason or another theory you have. Maybe you disagree with the premise. Maybe you think like the first caller did that the SEC is overrated. 855-212-4227. If you don't want to call, you can tweet me at the Pony Express. Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can tweet us at CBS Sports Radio.
Andrew Filippone is on the air.
And you can listen on Alexa. Tell her to play CBS Sports Radio. Today was moving day at the Filippone household, so this is very cathartic for me to be in with you. I am in between houses. Sold a house too fast. House I'm building can't get done soon enough, so I'm in limbo right now. I'm going to be living with my in-laws for the next 3 months. So if you care about me, say some prayers for me. I like my in-laws, and I'm not just saying that because they might be listening. I like them a lot, but I just think living in a house with anyone other than my wife and dogs for the next 3 months is not something I'm super excited about because I'm not used to it. I've not lived with my parents, with my mom, my dad, a relative, in like 20 years. So this is going to be a totally unique experience. I've got games I want to watch when I go home. I don't know what that now they're home. I don't know what that situation is going to be like. So I'm totally out of my comfort zone when I leave here. This is my comfort zone, being in with you, talking about college football and the return of the SEC. I am going to tell you something right now. And we can revisit it as the season goes along. Florida is going to win the SEC East. I think they're good enough to win the SEC Conference, period. And I think they can win the national championship this year. In fact, I'm kicking myself. I live in a state where you can bet on such things. I'm kicking myself that I did not bet on them to win it before they play today. Because this Trask at quarterback's the real deal. They got the best one in the conference. The tight end, Pitts, is remember now, going back to Tebow, they had some tight ends there. And this guy looks like an NFL stud. He's exactly what you want at the next level. Incredible athlete. They got a defense that was excellent last year, held teams under 16 points a game. They've given up 21 to Ole Miss in the fourth quarter, but hey, it's Lane Kiffin. You know he's going to find a way to score points. And he benched the running quarterback there last year, whose name escapes me, kid with a hyphenated name, and went with the other guy, I think Corral is his name, who's more of a pocket passer, because that's what Kiffin's going to do. They're going to throw it a ton. Growing pains there. Kiffin did a good job at Florida Atlantic for 3 years. So he's a character. He's a big personality. He belongs in the SEC. Auburn up 22-13 on Kentucky. You know, Gus Malzahn couldn't start 0-1 with a loss at home. So that's another game we'll watch. Next hour, Texas Tech, and Ed Orgeron in LSU at 3:30 against Mike Leach in Mississippi State. How did the SEC get to a point where they are not only the best conference in college football, but they are better than everyone else by far? That's what we're talking about to celebrate the return of the SEC. I'm not an SEC honk. Sometimes I've had fun on this show tweaking SEC fans because they take things so personally. Today I'm in the mood to give them the credit where it's due. They just blow every other conference out of the water. There's the NFL, and then the SEC is the next best thing. Head and shoulders above everybody else in college football. How? Why did it happen? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Robert's in Kansas City. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks hey, man. For
yep. Yeah, I live in Kansas City the last 20 years now, but I grew up in Alabama, so I've kind of had both views of what they think about college football and sports. And in the SEC or in the Southeast, they just care about football. That's all the sports they care about, specifically college football and high school football. They don't really care about anything else. Maybe NASCAR and hunting and fishing is like second and third. In Big 12.
Are you saying that to disparage college. Those people down there? Or you believe that?
No. I, all due respect. I just meant that those were the important things. It was football, college football, and high school. They don't care about the NFL in the Southeast. They don't. And then NASCAR was probably second, and then hunting and fishing. Those were the things that people cared about with regards to sports. Where, like in big
now, do you think that's new? Do you think that's a recent phenomenon,
like
or do you think
football.
It's? Do you, hey, Robert, do you think that's a recent phenomenon, the SEC preference for sport, or do you think it's been like that for a while? Oh, Robert lost me, I guess. Because of the way he ranked the sports down there in the South, like, is that a new development? I don't think it is. I think they've always put college football number one. I think it's always been a religious experience down there. So, if it's been that way for a long time, why in the last, say, 10 or 15 years has it really taken off to the point where it's the SEC and everyone else, where they are dominating bowl games? Whenever they play Big 10, Big 12, ACC, they, for the most part, crush those teams. And there are a couple exceptions you can point to. For the most part, they win, and they win big. They flex their muscle. Non-conference, every year we get up for these crossover games, they win. They've won six of the last 10 national championships. They've been represented in 9 of the last 10 national championship games. It's utter, complete domination. So what gives? Robert thinks it's just they care more. Okay. I think they've cared for a long time. Here's David in San Diego on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, David.
Hey.
Hey.
So I've got pretty much a one-word answer, and it feeds into some other stuff, and that answer is money.
Mm-hmm.
Which college football programs are paying $10 million a year to their coach? They're in the SEC. Which colleges in the U.S. are football programs that offer classes? They're all in the SEC. I have a list up right now of the top 10 college football programs by budget. Number 1, Alabama. Number 2, Florida State. Number 3, Auburn. Number 5, Georgia. Number 9, Florida. And suddenly, look at what happens. They all have the best coaches in the country because they're paying them the most, and now every high school football player wants to go to an SEC school. And so
I think just about everything you've said, I agree with. I'm co-signing. I'm happy that you're, you know, bringing this kind of information to light to add to your argument. But I'll let you finish in a second, though. The one rebuttal I'll have to you on that is, from a money in standpoint, from the money that is coming in, there's not really a difference between the SEC and the Big Ten. The Big Ten was the first to start its own network. The Big Ten television contracts with ABC, ESPN, Fox were just as good, if not better, than the SEC. And yet they've been lapped on the field by the SEC.
It's true about money coming in. My point is money being spent on the programs is dwarfed in the Big Ten by the SEC.
Well, why aren't that's so that's the question. There you go. There you go. Why aren't Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, why aren't those schools spending more, Iowa, Wisconsin, why aren't they spending more money on football? Here's Michael in Wisconsin, speak of the devil, on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Mike.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
Go ahead.
Anthony, I hope your move goes well.
Thank you.
And my advice to you is find out the house rules, find out which apply to you, find out the grace period and number of mulligans, the punishment, and the appeal process. So
Yeah, they don't have anything posted, though, like the Ten Commandments when I walk in. So I'm not really completely sure. I'm going to have to maybe ask for some transparency when I get there and say, give me a list of things I need to know about sharing this space with you. But anyways.
You got to go to your wife. Regarding the SEC, I have a theory, and I'll take it. I think it's top-heavy. So I guess my hypothetical for you is, if you separate the SEC into two, how many teams would you need to back up your argument that the SEC is the best conference in football? I mean, you could do the same thing with every conference, but you know, if you got Alabama, LSU, and Georgia, how far does that get you to backing up your evidence? Because there's a lot of also-rans. I mean, Vandy, Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, you know, South Carolina has a little
bit. Here's how I will attempt to answer that, okay? So I'll give you a team that's just been okay in the SEC, nothing more, nothing less over like the last 5 or 6 years, and they've had a couple different coaches during that time.
Okay.
Mississippi State. When Mississippi State had Dak Prescott and they won, I think, maybe 9 or 10 games, and they did that for like 2 or 3 years with him at quarterback, if you put them in another league, what are they? Instead of being like, I don't know, the 6th or 7th best team in the SEC, if they're in the ACC, if they're in the Big 12, what are they? I think they're probably something more than that. Like, I think that programs like Mississippi State, Kentucky, Texas A&M, those middle teams, I think they're upper echelon teams in the other conferences. Like, I think Mississippi State would have won during those years. I think they would have won the Pac-12 one of those times. I think they would have beaten a Washington or a Stanford or a USC. Coming up, talk NFL week 3 started on Thursday night, continues Sunday. Something that has been debated and discussed a lot about the NFL over the last few weeks. We'll bring it up next. The Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.